Kristen, I have a question for you, and there's a reason I ask. What were you doing in 1982?
I probably already knew how to ride a bike by then. I was about to say, I think I was learning how to ride a bike.
Ah, okay.
But I already knew how to ride a bike then. I was really into Little House on the Prairie.
Okay.
I really can't remember much about 1982. I know that...
Sounds like it was early days for you.
I was pretty young. I was probably first or second grade, I think.
Oh, that young?
Yeah, okay. I think I was pretty young.
All right. Well, I was listening to New Wave and trying to get a girlfriend in 1982. I was successfully listening to New Wave, very unsuccessfully trying to get a girlfriend. And I was also, I should point out, maybe this explains it, I was also playing a lot of video games and programming computers. Maybe that was the problem. Now
it's
that I
all
think
clear
about it,
now. It's all crystal clear.
Back. And the reason I ask, of course, is because the big movie of 1982, or what was supposed to be the big movie of 1982, was Tron, Disney's Tron, a sci-fi, ambitious, expensive, cutting-edge, tech-savvy extravaganza. And here we are today, nearly 30 years later, and the sequel has finally come out, Tron Legacy. I know you've seen it, and I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, before I tell you how I feel about Tron Legacy, let me introduce myself. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
Rafer, before I tell you about how I really feel about Tron Legacy, do you want to know how I felt about the first Tron?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes.
So the first Tron, this is a point where my computer savviness was limited to a couple of games that some folks my age might remember. Oregon Trail. Lemonade Stand, and I believe my cousins had an Atari system so we could play Space Invaders.
Yeah,
so
okay.
This was really the extent of my video game knowledge at that point.
Of all three, I think the one that probably speaks the loudest would be Lemonade Stand. That's what I would say.
The very controversial, sometimes violent Lemonade Stand played on the Apple II. That's right.
Okay.
So when I saw Tron, I think it was, I'm pretty sure, the first movie I ever fell asleep while watching in the theater. I had a really hard time staying awake for it. It looked like I was trapped in Lemonade Stand.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, it was all
like,
just black
like,
and
look,
green.
It's black and there's some green lines here and there.
Yeah,
and nothing really seems to be happening. There's a lot of chasing happening. There's a lot of...
sort of tank-like ships floating through corridors, firing at you.
But, you know, I really remember very little about it other than being totally bored, thinking these high-tech special effects actually just look like Day-Glow tape on leotards.
Yeah.
And I think they wore... motorcycle helmets maybe in the movie?
They had kind of, sort of skateboardy motorcycle helmets and body suits. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's about all I remember. I probably had a good nap in that movie. But what did you think about the first Tron?
Well, see, here's what's funny. I mean, I think your reaction was basically what everyone's reaction was in 1982. I mean, the movie was a flop. I mean, it's opening weekend. It hit number two. I think I've written about this. So this is why I have these figures in my head. It got maybe $4 million. But it was just trounced by the other actual big movie of 1982, which was E.T.
Oh, so good. Love that E.T.
Yeah. He took his little foot and he just crushed, smashed the screen of Tron. And, here's the other problem. I think you were a good example of how the mainstream audience reacted to that movie, which was, it's a bore. It's a complete snooze, right? I was the target audience for that movie, right? 14-ish or so, very into video games, very into computers. And I thought the movie was also a bore. I thought it was dull. And I also thought that it didn't seem to understand anything about how computers actually worked. You could tell that the people that wrote the movie still regarded computers as just this giant mystery.
Spoken from a true computer nerd. They totally didn't get computers, man.
I know. That's what I think. That's the problem.
I mean, when I have a floppy disk and I take the floppy disk and I'm doing this
exactly.
with my coding, oh, my God. They totally didn't get that.
And I think, your computer guys were kind of like, dude, if you wrote a program, it wouldn't look like you. It wouldn't look like some two-armed, two-legged dude running around through circuits. That's so dumb. And I think that's how most of us felt. And so here's the problem. Tron missed every single demographic, right? It couldn't appeal to the non-geeks. It couldn't appeal to the geeks.
Well, here's my question then.
Yeah.
Okay. So you say it didn't appeal to anyone. Why is there this huge supposed cult following of Tron, a Tron underground, if you will,
yes,
that pushed this agenda where there had to actually be a sequel because they loved Tron so much that, you know, we just can't go the rest of our lives without another Tron. We need another Tron.
Well, as you've said, which this surprised me, you said that most guys that you know love Tron.
Yeah.
And I think that's fascinating because I have to say I never hear anyone talk about Tron. I never see it pop up in any kind of critical studies book. I never see it showing at midnight at the Waverly or the IFC. I never see it. I never hear anyone having a Tron party and having their friends get together.
No, no, no. You know this is true. You know this is out there. Now, when you were, you know, you're a theater critic. You get to see a lot of movies early. Tell me this didn't happen to you. When you had mentioned that, you know, Tron obviously was on your list, how many people called you up and said, you have to bring me with you to Tron Legacy?
One. Only one.
Only? Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. One friend of mine who's younger than I am, and he's a hip music guy, works for a large music company. He wanted me to take him to see Tron. He was the only one. Nobody else, everyone else couldn't care less, could not
really?
Care less. And that's why.
That's baffling. I had like 10 people. All boys.
Wow, all boys. That's so funny. That's so
please,
funny.
Please, make me the one you bring with. Please, please.
Well, here's the question. You've seen Tron Legacy. Is this your father's Tron? Did Tron Legacy, did it manage to bring us up to date? Did it right the wrongs that, did it fix the mistakes that Disney made 30 years ago? Is this a better film?
You know what? It took those wrongs and it just made them worse.
Yeah.
Just was so, 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 so bad.
Yeah.
It was, you're nodding. You're agreeing with me.
Yeah. No, yeah, I thought it was the same movie with the exact same problems.
All the same problems. Again, the leotards with the Dagalo stripes on it, the same stupid, like, it's a black world with bright lines.
Yep.
Look, it's a green line going across the screen.
Yep.
Same issues with that.
Yep.
Plus, made even worse because now Jeff Bridges is being made both a young character and an older character. So you have somebody who's in his 60s who's the Jeff Bridges that we know who aged naturally. And then we have the young version of him that really just looks like some sort of weird cartoonish puppet sort of thing to me.
Right. Well, they've computer youthed his face. To me, that was acceptable because he is essentially playing – he is a program. So that's okay. He's not actually human.
What a badly, poorly written program, though. His face is just like
it's the program that took over the inner world of Tron. Here's the thing, I found it again coming from sort of a former computer nerd. Computers have passed me, you know. Obviously, in the past decades, I've completely lost my ability to keep up with how computers are programmed, but. Coming from a former computer nerd, I just again felt like, I'm sorry, this is not a computer world in here. What you've created is essentially Manhattan's meatpacking district inside what's supposed to be some kind of cyber world. You're all hanging out at the cyber club drinking cyber cocktails while Daft Punk is playing, you know, up in the DJ booth. This is absurd. Did you notice my absolute favorite shot in the whole movie is where Sam, Garrett Hedlund, the young actor who's playing Jeff Bridges' son, who also has been sucked into the computer, rides his light cycle, I think, down to...
Light cycle, yeah.
Yes, right. Rides his light cycle downtown, gets off, and there's a cyber alcoholic sitting in the cyber gutter. Right? Do you remember that? I just kind of thought, what in the hell? Where am I? What is this world? What is this idiotic world you've transported me to? This world is starting to make the original Tron look logical, pristine, and attractive. This world makes no sense. Why is there a cyber homeless guy?
That's not the only thing that doesn't make sense. There are so many things that make no sense in this world.
None of it. It's true.
I couldn't quite follow things, but then I also didn't want to follow things because I was so bored. There were points I sort of it was almost a repeat of the first movie in that there were moments where my head started to kind of nod off and my eyes would close. I'm like, no, must stay awake for this. Yeah. Must stay awake. Rafer and I are about to talk about this movie. I have to stay awake. I have no excuse this time. But then I would zone out and I'd forget. Hold on. Why are they chasing? Is this the same chase scene as before? Is this a different chase scene?
Right.
Now they're chasing each other again, but I don't really feel that anything within the plot necessitated another chase scene.
Yeah.
And the story never built on itself. You know the way a story arc goes. It goes up and up and up and up and then climax and then resolution.
Right.
It was just a flat line through the whole thing. Just like from beginning to end, let's chase. And at the end, credits come up.
Yeah, which is the exact same thing that critics knocked the original Tron for. That it was just one chase scene after another, and that it had a very weak script, and that the characters were two-dimensional and boring. And I think it seems like the exact same problem over and over to me. I was a little bit amazed. It's very strange that Disney would have sunk so much money into a film in 1982, have it fall flat on its face, and then do the exact same thing over again 30 years later. It's really, I can't figure out if it's because someone within the Disney hierarchy just loves freaking Tron.
I think it's one of those boys.
You think it's one of those boys? It's probably someone you dated, Kristen. It's probably one of your guys.
Most definitely. I will just say it's very likely one of my ex-boyfriends. Very, very, very likely one of my ex-boyfriends.
That is the problem.
But one last thing I do have to say before we sign off on this podcast. If there's anything good about this movie, Jeff Bridges at a couple of points is a little bit funny.
And so is Michael Sheen as Castor, the club owner. I thought he was hilarious. I thought he stole the show.
Oh, God, he was awful.
Oh, you thought he was awful? Really? Oh, let's see. Okay, so if you didn't like him, then you've got nothing good to say about the movie. I thought he was the only good thing in the film.
Really? Jeff Bridges was a couple of times amusing, just because he was playing that same character who played in The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, he's
really
playing the dude again. So, you're messing with my Zen thing, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he said it. Again, I just kind of felt like, you're in a computer land. Why are you acting like the dude? Why are you acting like the guy from Big Lebowski? Are you gonna be drinking a virtual white Russian?
I'm not
Where's
saying
your
that
virtual rug.
I'm not saying that part was good so much as it was mildly amusing.
Yeah,
saying. You know, and if there was, you know, I have nothing else good to say about this movie.
I know.
Nothing
I hear you.
In the slightest.
It's sad. It's sad to see all that money and time go down the drain on a movie like this. Did you take any of these boys that have been flocking around you begging you to go see Tron?
No, it was such a packed screening. There wouldn't have been room for me to bring anybody else. And I will say, I think I was alone in the screening, though, in thinking that the movie was complete crap. Because everybody around me, they clapped when the movie started.
Oh.
And then when it was done, there were a lot of smiles and a lot of yays and a lot of how about that kind of.
Well,
you know, all of that stuff that I just did not want to participate in with any of them.
We'll see. Disney may have a hit on its hands yet. Who knows? Maybe they'll right the wrongs of 30 years ago.
And if we're really lucky, there'll be a Tron 3. If you want to get regular updates from Movie Date or give us suggestions, text the word movies to 69866.
And Kristen, you can become a fan of Movie Date on Facebook if you want to give us feedback on the podcast or suggest the movies that we should see next.
Excellent.